This is CliffCentral.com. 360 Biz on CliffCentral.com.
It is 360Biz.com. My name is Debo Homafodi. Welcome to another exciting installment of 360 Biz. It is a beautiful Wednesday evening. You know that whenever you hear us on air, we bring you all things business. We bring in subject matter expert. We bring in regulators. We bring in industry champions. You know, this is a show that we hold people accountable. But unfortunately, or most fortunately, today we're not holding anybody accountable. But we're bringing you informers. And you know what? It's very exciting that today I'm doing two things that I love the most, being radio. Definitely that is my first love, and the second thing of love that I do today, you know what, is property. So I'm just in love, you see. So so it is love indeed, right here in studio. And interesting enough, me walking in, I'm bumping into an old colleague of mine that I've been seeing in a couple of years, man, you know. I think the last time I saw him, we were both still waiting behind the ears. But I've seen that, you know what, you know, we've gotten wiser and we've gotten tougher the most in regards to the business or the industry that we're in as a whole. And as dear sister of mine, that, geez, you know what, I was supposed to have met before I could even start out. That's why I want to confess and apologize on air. Traffic, it has been a bad, it's nightmare in Joburg. I'm coming all the way from Mpumalanga. Yes. And we've got a new brother, you know what, in studio that you'll get an opportunity to hear. You know, people, they saying they do property. The next thing, you come into studio, I was kakakak. And then you ask yourself, you know, this property thing, does it have to do with the looks? Or what does it? Because now Leroy comes here looking all swagalicious, you know. But anyway, you'll get to hear the guests that we have in studio. I'm not alone in studio. I'm with my boy, Bulelani. But how are you, Fana?
I'm good, sir. I'm having a good day.
Okay. I see the range is growing. Now there's sweaters.
Yeah. So there's merchandise now. It kills me because I have to wear it in the heat, but it's okay. Yeah. So when the question comes up, don't you think it's hot? I'm like, no, actually it's not. And then I cough a little bit just to simmer it down.
Is it?
Yeah. But I'm very excited about today's show because I've been having quite a few property questions in mind.
Okay.
But I was looking forward to the show because I'm looking at buying a property.
Is it?
And yeah, so hopefully my questions will be answered. I tried Googling someone and the two famous property apps in the country, but I wasn't getting the answers. I was reading their blogs. I wasn't getting the answers that I had. So I hope the show would also cater for us, private buyers.
Yeah, no, Bulelani has given it away that we're talking property. I had not given it away yet, but hey, he just did.
Sorry.
The discussion today is the real state of property in South Africa. I mean, due to the improved political and economical sentiment, I mean, the recent interest rate cut and improved outlook for economic growth, there's evidence of affordable areas in South Africa's economic heartland, Gauteng, as well as other accessibly priced properties of various regions, becoming more and more appealing. I know Cape Town, Bulelani, it's one of the most appealing markets right now, with the most, even smallest properties becoming expensive. I mean, South Africa is fortunate in that it has a young growing population which has yet to enter the housing market, with affordable considerations making sectional title properties the preferred entry point for first-time buyers. The demand for sectional title properties is likely to remain brisk of the foreseeable future. However, the recent land expropriation without compensation continues to sell papers and raise temperatures among South Africans. I mean, I know that in studio I've got an entrepreneur who's in that space. I don't know whether she's expropriating property or she's buying, but she will tell us. It has been cited as a major concern by rating agencies and actively in real estate in being hampered by uncertainty that this debate has delivered. In a recent survey, 28% of respondents indicated that the land expropriation without compensation causes uncertainty regarding property as an investment, and about 23% of the respondents said that the concern about the prevent political uncertainty on the positive rise on the positive side. 35% of respondents still regard property as a secure asset, while 28% regard it as still increasing in value. Our guest today will share share their journey in the property entrepreneurship. To talk to us about this exciting discussion that we have in studio, we've got Tebogo Molefe. He's not here yet. I think he's still coming. He's the founder of First Class Property SA, you know, and real estate entrepreneur. And we've got Leroy Slava, who's the director of Property Pick, a property, a professional property investor, speaker, and trainee. Leroy started very young in this space, and I know he bent himself and his fingers when he started. I've got Buhle Gumede, who is the co-founder of Africa Pure Property, and I've got a dear friend of mine, Tandeka. Tandeka, you know, it's actually a slap. I forgot to give your my producer your company you know, names, but we're gonna give you an opportunity you know, to tell us. Maybe let's start with you, so that, you know what, you properly introduce yourself so that I do justice to you.
Okay.
Yeah. Say hi to our listeners.
Oh,
tell us who you are.
Hi and to what the is listeners. My name is Tandeka Nombanjinji. I'm the managing director of Nombanjinji Family Property. We are a commercial property group whose core focus is on township development. We specialize in the development, maintenance, and management of commercial, retail, and residential infrastructure. Our business offerings are commercial space letting, from office space letting, retail space letting, residential space letting, and long-term lease solutions.
Yes, no, that is indeed Tandeka Nombanjinji. Anyway, we're going to get to hear more, Hori. Is she expropriating the land or is she buying? So that's the part that we cannot definitely live without her telling us.
Tell us.
Yes, definitely. But let's take this opportunity to say hi to our listeners. Tell us who you are and what is it that you do.
Hi, I'm Buhle Gumede, and I'm the co-founder of Africa Pure Property. And essentially what we focus on are three core areas, and that is green and brownfield, residential developments focused on the low to low middle income space. We also look at sale and leaseback transactions within the industrial sector. And we've also just recently introduced a new node for us, which is the Rosebank Commercial Greenfield Development Node. And that's essentially what we focus on.
But when are you my competitor? I must just switch off your mic.
The market is very big. It's big enough for everyone.
No, it definitely is big. Let me go to my boy, Leroy Slava. Mm-hmm. Say hi to our listeners. Tell us who you are and what is that you do.
Hi, listeners. My name is Leroy Slava. I'm an investor, a coach. I'm also a speaker for Rich Dad Education South Africa, and I'm the director of Property Pick, which is a property portal where we connect investors with motivated sellers. It's also a portal where power team members, attorneys, architects, builders can come and advertise their services. So basically like a one-stop shop for an investor. Mm-hmm. So that'll be launching on Monday. It'll be live on Monday. So we're quite excited about that.
No, so I mean, I'm hoping that you're gonna tell us more about, I mean, the launch that you're having.
Yeah.
More. But hey, let's start. You know that they said ladies first, and already you've already set the tone. You know, Tandeka, tell us. You said it's Nombanjinji Family Property.
Nombanjinji.
Nomba. Yes, I'm right. What did I say?
You said Nombanjinji.
Oh, Nombanjinji.
Yes, it's Nombanjinji Family Property.
Okay, so it sounds like a family business.
Yes, it is.
And I know your father started with a vision,
mm-hmm.
and you took it up.
Yes.
Tell us a bit about that.
Well, the company was founded by my late father, Mr. Ligwa Nombanjinji.
Okay.
He was one of the, you know, one of the established property developers within the Soweto area. We started off with from an informal business, you know, from butcheries, bakeries, and so I grew up in a family that was of entrepreneurs. So
this entrepreneurial thing you inherited from home.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, it's guys, let's not be shy about that, hey? And for no, but it's true. Yes. It's true. I mean, for me, the entrepreneur in my family was my grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand? So and for me, I inherited it by circumstance, not by choice.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't be a normal child and be playing. I needed to be home making sure that stock, there's this and that, because there was this puzzle shop as well.
Yes.
Do you understand?
Yes.
So, but the thing grew in me. Now it has become a big part of me.
Absolutely. I think our journey is very similar. You know, it's an inheritance, but also at within the same breath, I have to say that it has to be somehow your passion,
mm-hmm.
and you have to have the drive in order to be able to thrive.
Was it your passion?
It became my passion.
It became
my passion.
I like that.
Because when I started, I actually started in the motor industry,
mm-hmm.
Because I needed my own independence from the family businesses, but obviously with my dad's passing and with him being sick with cancer, you know, I decided to be a part of the family business, and for me it was more of a personal decision, mm-hmm. because what's more important to me is the thing of creating generational wealth,
yeah.
and creating a generational legacy.
Mm.
So for me, it was about taking my dad's, what he's worked on, taking his legacy and taking it to another level.
Okay, do you have siblings?
Yes, I do.
Older, younger?
I've got, I had two older brothers.
Okay.
The one is late, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got one older brother and one younger sister.
Is it? Okay. But then I've never asked you, dude. Where do you get entrepreneurship?
Something you learn a strategy.
Oh, really?
No, man. I can't even explain where it came from, but I think I could trace it as far as trying to sell sweets or maybe my queen. That's kind of where I started.
Okay.
Because I think the idea, there was, I don't know where it came from, but there was a mentality that was instilled that you sell this, you get this much, whether it was school or maybe my granddad or whatever. And because I think as the only entrepreneurial traces I could find in my family was my granddad through his Smolanyana farm, you know.
Oh, so those are the traces. When you were not there working in a farm?
No. That farm, so obviously he left it to his kids, and his kids, my uncle, well, let me not name drop. Well, they did whatever they did with it, and it's no longer there. You see,
let's
now you're building a massive...
Let's go expropriate it, my bad. Let's go expropriate it. Let me cut to my boy, Leroy.
Yes, sir.
Are you good, Fana?
Good, man. Good man.
Tell me, how did you start?
With property?
Mm.
I started... My father passed away, and he left me a house.
Oh, so you are also inherited?
That's what happened.
Are we the only ones that are not inherited?
So he left me a house in Boksburg, in Dawn Park.
Okay.
And I didn't want to live in the house, so what I did was I sold the house and I bought a townhouse closer to where my mother was, because I wanted to be closer to her because she was alone.
Okay.
And then the guy I bought the townhouse from, he bought the house at an auction, at a sheriff's auction.
Okay.
So he bought it at a sheriff's auction. He sold it to me. And once the deal was completed, the estate agent came and I said, listen, how much did this guy buy this house for? And he bought it for like $300,000-$400,000, and I bought it for about $600,000.
Jeez.
And I said, listen, man, something is wrong with this picture. Why am I buying it at $600,000 and he's buying it at $300,000-$350,000, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, listen, let me go look for this auction. And I went, I looked for the auction.
Okay.
And I got a few people together. I said, listen, actually, my mother and some family members, I said, listen, let's put some bucks together and let's go buy at the auction.
Mm. When are you literally practice the principle, your first investors are the three F's. Are the friends, the family, and the fools.
Yeah. Mm.
So you...
I got them all.
Okay. Tell us more.
Yeah, and then I went to the auction, went there first.
Which auction?
The Boksburg Sheriff's auction.
Okay.
And I went there, stood there, first week, second week, no one wanted to give...
It gets full now.
Gets full. It's a bit of a scary place, your first few times there. And no one wanted to help me. I was getting advice. And then I said, listen, and we bought the first one. Mm-hmm. Bought the first one.
How much was the first one?
I think it was about 300,000.
Townhouse or house?
It was a townhouse.
Okay.
300,000, but with all the expenses, it came to about 400,000. Sheriff's commission, outstanding rates, a lot of things you need to know at the sheriff's auction.
Yeah.
Sheriff's commission. So it came up to about, I think, 400,000. We sold it for 480,000. That was a few months later.
Okay, so you made about 80,000.
Made about 80,000, which took a while because obviously I didn't know how to sell it quickly that time.
Okay.
And then went back, bought the second one, bought the third one, made some mistakes, made some money, and then I was in it.
Is it? Now we're going to come to the issue of the mistakes. Let's come to let's come to Butle. How did you start?
I'd say I started by
getting a trust. Yeah.
Complete accident, actually. I'm the opposite to everyone else who's here.
Okay.
So I come from an investment banking background. I was in the corporate finance space, and my second job was in a sort of private equity environment.
Okay, I hope not the Sentin company. They're up there.
It's somewhere in Sentin. I won't mention what I think
I know, but it'll traumatize me. Okay, continue.
So I started off in investment banking, and then I moved over to private equity. And when I joined private equity, a lot of the guys that used to come to us for cash were guys, say 6 out of 10 of the guys were guys in the property space. And I'd never seen property in my life. So I started asking myself, what is it about property that I don't know? And I started doing some research and some reading. And my exposure during my stint there in corporate allowed me to eventually become really good at property, understand it really well to the extent that I saw that I could do it myself. And that's what I ended up doing. Going on my own.
Is it?
Yeah.
So, but I think there's a lot of things that you're touching on the surface as to how you started.
Yes, I am actually touching on the surface. You know what the thing is?
Mm.
The thing is it's for me, I think property is all about exposure.
Okay.
If you've never been exposed to property, whether it's friends or family, or people that you see around you who are in the property space, you'll never understand it. Most people, when they drive around, and let's say they go take a drive around Sandton and you see all the cranes, you're not thinking, who are the guys that own this? How are they making money? You're just saying, wow, there's a new discovery building that's up there, and you're just driving past, like, oh, this is going to look great for the area. You never think about all the guys that are in the background making money and understanding how whole ecosystem actually works. And for me, it was just that curiosity that eventually got me into that space.
Bulelani, I know Bulelani. The minute Bulelani sees a development in Tembisa, goes knocking. What's happening?
Yeah, well, I think for me, it's not to be. The curiosity for me really won't necessarily, because I'm not in that space. But obviously, we work with quite a few developments in the country when they set up. So whatever franchises come in, we would do the branding and whatever, because I run a branding manufacturing company. But I think, apart from what he's mentioning, there's a lot of us that see things happening on a daily basis, but no one is curious enough to ask, but kanjan, you know, kanjan. But all of us want to really move our lives to a whole new level.
Sure.
So now maybe, guys, Tandega, you find a lot of space. Okay, let me say this industry that we're in, especially property, there's few women that are in this space. I know because I'm there, and I know because I sit in the right tables. You know, how's the environment for you, and how are we receiving you as men?
Oh, I must say it is. In the beginning, it was very intimidating. I won't lie about that. The industry is unfortunately still, you know, predominantly, male dominated.
Okay.
But I must say that institutions such as Women's Property Network, you actually get to meet other females.
Oh, there's
An institution called Women's Property Network. There's actually, you know, a group of women from, you know, architects, you know, to quantity surveyors.
Is it?
Yeah, okay. To developers.
When are you inviting me there?
Oh, but it's for women.
I have to go. You may never know. Maybe I could be coming as a speaker, you know?
I'll speak to Sandy, who's the CEO there. I'll speak to her and see if maybe you could come in and maybe, yeah, you could share, you know, some insight from a male perspective.
Yes, Leroy maybe might know, might get an investor there, or maybe get a project to invest, or maybe get a wife. You may never know. But do you feel that the industry is accommodative to women, though?
It is quite difficult, but I think you have to be more of a, you know, you have to be strong-willed. Mm-hmm. And don't always take no for an answer. So somehow, you know, when
you
they say
mele
u foste njengomzekezeke, you just have to, you know. Yes, you have to force your way in.
Mm.
Yeah, and you actually have to show determination, and that's the only way really they'll, you know, hear you out.
Mm. Okay, guys, you know, my concern sitting here and sitting the way I am is that, you know, everyone glorifies entrepreneurship. Now people want to be entrepreneurs. People see us in properties. I've recently launched my property show, on DSTV channel 412 called #realestate. I'm going to have you guys, by the way, on the show as well, for us to have those discussions. And people are thinking, oh, it's so easy there. Do you understand? No. Guys, let's tell people, Jorge, you can run months without a set coming in. Do you understand? You can run without sand coming in. Mm. And right now, so at some point, even banks would even finance you to flip.
Mm.
Do you understand? And for that matter, sometimes, let's say you've got a property, you found a project, there's not even capital to do the renovation or to work on that project or do this and that. Do you understand? Can we maybe discuss some of the challenges or maybe let's start with the mistakes first. Do you understand? Leroy, what were some of your mistakes where you burned your fingers as far as property is concerned?
The first mistake I made was, I think it was the second or the third property that I bought, was at the sheriff's auction, they don't always give you the correct addresses.
True.
So sometimes the address.
Mm.
So when I went and I looked at the property, and you can't get into all of them.
Because
when you look at them, there's not always someone at home at the time.
Yeah.
So the mistake I made was, I didn't get into the property, so I didn't know what it looked like inside.
Okay.
Secondly, as I stood outside and I said, okay, and in the location, some of the location, there's no house numbers.
Yeah.
And anyway, I thought it was that one. I went and I bid, and I was just a successful bidder. Got the property.
How much?
Ooh. I think I bought it for 170.
Okay.
170. I think it was about 205 with all the other expenses.
Okay.
And I bought the wrong property. Mm. So I thought I was buying the one on this side of the street, but I bought the one opposite the street. And anyway, that was a mistake, but I sold it for like 400,000. So I almost made like a
double the amount.
But the mistake was I bought the wrong property.
Okay. So when you get there, was it better? Was it worse?
It was slightly worse.
Yeah.
But it was more, the properties weren't that different in the street.
Yeah. Let me tell you guys, for me, it was the worst, but yet the best. I get there, it was the same. The address was wrong. So the next thing, the address took me to a stand, do you understand? And even the description was saying it's a stand. Do you understand? Yeah. So it was not a house.
Mm.
So and as well, when I got there to check it out, it was a stand. Do you understand? Mm. But like you said, for me, but like the stand was next door, the house was this side.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Mm. So I think whoever that put together the thing thought it was this stand, and actually it was the house.
Oh.
So then I bought, they said, no, rates in Texas are this and this and this and this and this. So when I got there, now after I bid it, I won the bid. And now having to go take now my stand, thinking, oh, now I want to start doing fencing and this and that. Now people are coming, why you want to be fencing my stand? No, I bought this and this. Do you understand? And now when I went to municipality checking, it's actually a house. and a house that was bigger, you know.
Cha-ching.
It was cha-ching indeed. Do you understand? And I mean, I easily made about 350 to 300 profit on that property. Do you understand? No. But I know others have been the worst. Do you understand? Yeah. But what has been some of your mistakes?
I think for me, my biggest mistake when I started the game was, okay, so as I said earlier on, we look at the low to low middle income rental accommodation space.
Okay.
And one of our big nodes outside of the townships was the inner city. And I realized at the time, I love it too, but I'll tell you what my issues are with it now.
Okay.
When I looked at it at the time, I realized that we were coming in at a point where the inner city was not scalable enough anymore.
Mm.
So we were entering the inner city when, one, the property prices were really high on a per square meter basis to make your rentals work for that particular kind of market.
Okay.
So I lost a couple of months trying to do transactions there that I could see financially were not feasible. And I discovered that there were better markets actually, but it was just my drive to make something happen in the inner city that made me lose a lot of time there. And I think a lot of people don't do enough research and time the market well enough to know when to enter a particular market or exit a particular market. Because in fact, the guys who were the pioneers of the inner city were all leaving the inner city. So the guys who started it were moving out the inner city. And here I am trying to come into the inner city.
Okay.
And that was, I think, for me, my biggest mistake.
You said you're going to tell me what's your problem now with it. What's your problem with it now?
It's way overpriced, the properties.
Mm-hmm.
They're very, very overpriced. So I don't want to get too technical for the listeners, but you should be buying in the inner city if you want to do a conversion, which is a brownfield. You should be buying anywhere sort of between 2,000 and below 2,000 rand a square meter. If you're buying anything above that, then it's very hard to make your numbers work.
Hmm. Interesting. Never looked at it that way. Do you agree with him?
Look, I think they are a bit overpriced. Central Johannesburg you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I focus mostly in the Boksburg. But what I like about the inner cities as well is that you'll always have tenants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love.
It's close to work. Yeah. So if you can negotiate the thing at the right price, and you'll always have, because most people are moving from, let's say, from the townships or the homelands, they move to the inner city, and then from there they move.
Yeah.
Out. So that's one of the reasons I love the inner city.
Guys, you see, for me, I go anyway.
Yeah.
You understand? And when I get there, the minute I start seeing high density, I see a lot of people going wherever, confusing. You don't know where's this one going, where's this one. That's why I get excited, because I see money. Do you understand?
Yeah.
I mean, with these people, that's why I know Rhino. Here, there's a future. There's something going on.
Mm.
What has been some of your mistakes, Tandeka?
My biggest mistake that I can remember, it was being stuck in a bad lease agreement with the tenant. At the time, you know, I just did a basic lease agreement, just thinking, okay, it's just a lease agreement, not thinking of the legal repercussions that may, come from that.
Mm-hmm.
We had an incident where a tenant was, he felt that he had the right to stay in the property because of a clause that was in the lease that we've overlooked, and that actually taught me a lesson that you shouldn't use just a regular attorney sometimes. You must actually use a property specific attorney.
That is so true.
That will look at every agreement word for word. And, you know, and not just an attorney that you'll give the documents to and say, hey, or just draft something. Sit down with him and actually find out for yourself what those things mean and what those terms, you know, entail, and how would they impact you, whether positively or negatively.
Mm.
So I would always advise people to use property specific attorneys.
Yeah. So, you know, what you're saying, it's so true. When I started off now, obviously I was accumulating property, I wanted to put up protection structures. So what I did is that I went to my lawyer, my attorney, I need a trust. And, you know, then he quickly put it up, you know, registered and whatever. Immediately on the spot, I put two properties there. So now as I get deep into this, now obviously you meet people that specializes in this and that. So now I meet now trust attorneys, do you understand? People that specialize to say, dude, you know, our job is to protect you, to make sure things are well structured. You know, they look at this thing and they say, this thing is not even worth the paper it's written on.
Absolutely.
Do you understand? And it had so much loopholes that I could easily go down. And right now, I've already put in properties, I've already put in assets. Do you understand?
Yeah.
And right now, there's even clauses that even stop me or that even disturb me from amending or making certain changes as far as that is concerned.
Yes.
So you're like, you know, it's so that's why it's important, the issue that get industry-specific lawyers when you're dealing
it's
with,
very, very with. And also not just getting those lawyers, but also be in the know as to what is going on in that contract. Because at the end of the day, you know, the tenants don't care about your lawyers. It's between you and them. So you need to know the contents thereof and know what's going on and be able to... process through with that.
Yeah, no, definitely. Leroy, tell me, what is a distressed? What's the description of a distressed seller, and what does Property Pick do to assist them?
So a distressed seller would be anyone that is either financially distressed, retrenched, business is not doing well, they can't afford the bonds, someone who's perhaps divorced. Someone who's emigrating, maybe moving to Australia, New Zealand.
Motivated sellers.
That's someone who's motivated to sell. So that's what I deal with. I deal with motivated sellers.
Okay. How do you find them, though?
A few ways. I've got marketing. I've got Facebook.
Yeah.
I've got I paint walls in Boksburg that says we buy houses for cash.
Mm.
I've got referrals, estate agents, auctions. Mm. So we've got like the funnel. So there's different ways that they come in. So what we designed with Property Pick, we saw that for an investor, the main challenges are finding the deals.
Mm.
Some people have money and they don't have deals. Mm. So what we said, why not create a platform where a motivated seller can put his property on there, an investor can, and we can connect them without the middleman, the estate agents.
Mm.
And they could, and on there we've got lease agreements, we've got offer to purchases, we've also got power teams.
Okay.
You guys were talking about the attorneys getting professionals among property. So an attorney can come advertise, so you can get a good deal.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on what your strategy is, and probably there's different strategies: buy to sell, buy to let, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can find the deal, have the documents. And you can have the power team as well. You can get an attorney, an architect, a builder in one site.
Yeah.
So that's what we created for investors.
Hmm. Okay. So are you strictly using investors to fund your?
To fund the business?
Hmm.
No, we're funding it ourselves.
Is it?
We're funding it ourselves. Oh, so okay. we actually just completed it this week. So on Monday we're launching it on Monday. It'll be live on Monday.
Oh, yeah. What are you launching? Can you tell us quickly about that?
It will be Property Pick. So it'll be the website will be live, and we'll start with the marketing next week.
Is it?
Of it. Yeah, so that'll be quite interesting.
Okay.
So instead of you guys going around looking for deals, we're going to bring it all to one site.
Mm.
And then you can just come in there. Obviously, it'll be at a fee to have access to these deals. And then you can come to one site, you and Bulalani and...
Yeah. So Taneka, tell me, how do you? What kind of deals do you structure? I mean, he deals with distressed properties and those kind of deals in your company?
Normally with us, we actually search for available land where we identify... No.
You've not answered my question. Do you expropriate or do you buy?
No, we buy.
Oh, okay.
For now.
Oh, okay.
We identify land and then we purchase that land and we... begin. Obviously, we do our feasibility studies as to you know what would be suitable to develop in that area or the land. Then we, after that, we'll obviously start our process of development.
Mm. How do you finance the development?
We normally finance ourselves, but we do have finance houses that assist us should we need assistance in certain. areas.
Okay, so I guess you've got a balance sheet.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Bukle, the deals that you deal with?
So, as I said, we focus on three areas.
Mm-hmm.
On the residential side, what we tend to do there is that we love the township at the moment. So, we're buying what we'd call the apartheid four-bed house.
Ama
four rooms, but okay. With big yards.
Okay.
We demolish those, and then we build 18 to 20 apartment units there. There's something very unique, actually, about Soweto and the way that Soweto is zoned as town planning. You can densify up to two stories without having to rezone that.
You're kidding me.
That's just free information that I'm giving to the public.
You know about that?
Yes.
Is it?
I'm sharing this for free. I should be charging, actually. I'm waiting for my... payment.
Yeah.
So it's a very unique market, and you mentioned.
I must come invest in Soweto, guys. Must, eh?
You know what? You mentioned a very, very smart thing earlier on. You spoke about densification, and that's where South Africa is going. Highly densified, concentrated areas where the demand is guaranteed to always be there.
Yeah.
And you know, our whole aim is to provide quality. Low to low middle income accommodation, quality being the key word, that you could have an apartment that makes you aspire to move to Sandton one day. And that's what we focus on. On the industrial side, they're very structured finance deals. So those are sale and lease back transactions. How that essentially works is that we have an owner tenant, so a company that owns the actual industrial property, they sell it to me. And once they've sold it to me, they then sign a lease to me again for a long term, and we agree the escalations of that property. And that then comes down to just how you structure that particular deal. And there, the most important thing will be the tenant and the financial strength of the tenant.
Okay. So then how are you financing, let's say, for instance, the township property?
Those are very difficult deals. So obviously, the one thing that you would worry about is how you secure the land. So the way that we secure the land is we say, look, I mean, most of these properties are family properties. And we say, look, if no one's using the property, bring in your property, you put it in as equity, and then we'll fund the construction element of it.
Okay.
Or alternatively, if they want to keep the property, you say to them, look, we'll build the entire thing. You'll have a room that's there. You'll have life rights on it. And you'll also get some kind of shareholding in terms of the income stream. And that's how we're trying to entice people to actually sell their properties to us.
Nice.
So it's a win-win for everyone.
I like it. Yeah. Yeah, no, we must have a chat.
I might be sharing too much.
No, guys, I'm gonna hence even from when the show started, I said we inform and educate. Do you understand? That is the point, guys. For me to actually go mainstream in business, believe it or not, it started with somebody that I heard on radio. Do you understand? So I think that's why, as much as I do television, I love radio more. Because I think I've learned to understand the influence on radio. It's by far more powerful than the influence on TV.
Yes.
And you don't know the difference that you're making in someone's life. Bulelani, you ran away. I was wanting to ask, because in Tembisa, you guys don't have special zoning, guys. And you guys are busy erecting double stories there without zoning, without municipal plans. Eh? What are you guys doing?
No, man. Ekurhuleni is a free for all. I'm not speaking as a council member or whatever, but I mean, that's literally what's happening. People are erecting 25, 26 rooms or whatever, in suits and whatever, you know, without any documentation. I remember one conversation I had with one gentleman. I was asking him, so what sort of paperwork do you need for this? It's like, what paperwork, my man? You just build, my man.
Yeah.
And I think it's gotten to a point where the municipality is going to be very hard for the municipality to reverse that, because no one's going to want to demolish a house. But I like his particular method, because one client of mine who's got a property in Hyde Park did the very same thing. I think it's about 3,000 squares. Yes. There was a small house in there. He approached the developer and said, listen, we could build 6 amazing properties, yeah? So I keep one, you keep one, we sell the 4. I don't pay any building costs. He said, yes. They struck the deal.
Nice. Nice. I think, Leroy, it's all in the deal making, eh? How you negotiate that deal and how you put together that deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think it's something that we tend to miss as entrepreneurs. Tandega, when no one taught you how to structure deals, you know, you were just thrown in.
Yes, basically. That's why it was important for me to go to seminars, get as much information as possible that I can. Mm-hmm. Also, I'm a firm believer in mentorship. Mm. So I, you know, I've got a couple of mentors that that have gone through, you know, the same path that I'm embarking on.
Mm-hmm.
Mentorship is very important because those people will tell you the good, the bad, the ugly. They will guide you, you know, and they like mostly available when you need, you know, assistance and guidance as to how to structure certain deals. Because unfortunately, with certain deals in property, you don't actually do them by the book.
Yeah.
If I can say so, you know, there's certain other avenues that you have to approach certain deals. So, you know, mentors really come in handy when it comes to such, and also getting informed and and making sure that you're well equipped.
Leroy, we break a lot of rules in property.
Yeah.
We break a lot of rules in property, and we use a lot of power and strings and, you know, and things like that. You see, Tanner is finding a nice way of putting it.
There's
certain deals and require a certain way of approaching it. But now, how important for you is to mentorship for a person that is starting off?
Look, that's very important, because what I believe is all the mistakes have already been made in property. All the mistakes in property, you can make a lot of money, but you can also lose a lot of money. It's not not dealing with hundreds of rands, you're dealing with hundreds of thousands, millions. And I would it's important. I actually met with my mentor yesterday, and we were looking at a deal, and he gave me some insights. And for someone starting out, I would say, before you even buy a property, get yourself some basic education. I'm talking about either find someone who's doing it successfully, find a workshop, 2-day, 3-day, online courses, read books, but find someone who is doing it, who can guide you through those
find someone who's doing it. Butle, you guys, did you find somebody that is doing it?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I've got several mentors actually who are running very successful listed property funds.
Is it?
And that's where I got my mentorship. So I
definitely. You are a model C entrepreneur. But then I've never heard you speak about a mentor. Or being mentored by whatever. I know, guys. For me, I'm starting to be concerned, because I don't have a mentor. For me, I just started. Do you understand? And I don't know whether it was a beginner's luck or it was, do you understand? But I would say it's a beginner's luck, because I mean, how many businesses I've managed to, I've met people along the way, and people that I've consulted with, you know, people that I've asked help, because I'm not ashamed to ask help. But I'm thinking to myself, I've never really had somebody there say it's a mentor, he has done it, and you know, I run to him with every little whatever. No, I don't. Maybe I'm reading a wrong script.
Oh, mentors. So last I checked, I think I had 3 mentors. I'm not too sure what's going on.
You see what I mean?
But the thing is, but I think for me, it's when I need something, I've got people I can bounce ideas off.
Yeah.
It's been a year, though. I'm not met with anyone. Probably going to meet in the next month or two, but I think it's essential to have those key things. So I think that my frustration right now in my business and where we are at now we need industry experts, you know. So the mentors I have would not particularly be industry experts, but they are business experts in their own rights, running companies, playing in different spaces, whether it be finance or whatever. But in terms of my company now we need industry experts. Now, this would be an oldish white or black guy who's been doing this thing for 50 or 40 years to give the ins and outs of how do you run this particular cycle, because we've entered into the manufacturing space and we are seeing flames. So, no, we are. Entrepreneurship is not hard. We are seeing a lot of flames. So now we need the technical expertise, because the entrepreneurial hee hee ha ha doesn't work now. Now you need actual moves. So.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of mentorship, I mean, in studio we've got a brother who's focusing on mentorship. and doing a difference within entrepreneurs, especially in the township space. Elvis, do you want to take this opportunity to say hi to our listeners? Tell us quickly who you are and what it is that you do.
Hi everyone, and thanks for having me, Taboha. My name is Elvis. I run Ekasi Entrepreneurs, which essentially aim at empowering township entrepreneurs and creating platforms to connect township entrepreneurs with corporate South Africa and assisting them with access to resources, information, opportunities, access to markets, access to finance, and access to mentors in training and development.
Okay. How important is mentorship, though, for township entrepreneurs?
I think, look, you need some sort of guidance from where you're going. And I think that there are people that have walked that path that you're actually trying to actually walk, and you need people that are going to tell you not to actually make the same mistakes. I think mentorship is very vital. Sometimes you find that you don't have specifically saying that this person is your mentor to be able to look at everything within your business, but you look at a portfolio of mentors where there's a specific mentor that is actually assisting you within finance, one within marketing, one within actually networks. So there are different people that I think now mentorship is becoming more fluid to say, to not say, oh, it's just one person, but it's actually like a village that is actually building you to actually to where you want to go.
Yeah. So guys, maybe guys, you know, I've realized people throw mentor, you know, I've heard, I watched this interview, Julius Malema interview, when it was the judges or the commissioner or something. This guy says, tell us what's your relationship with this businessman. He says, no, he was my mentor. He would come to school and this and this. So now Julius Malema started breaking him down to say, okay, break it down. You know, what does it mean? No, would you go to his house? Would you sit with him? He would give you money. He would do this and this. Do you understand? And he says, no, right now I've got people that watch me speak at rallies and this and this and this. They cannot all of a sudden put me in their CVs as a mentor. When you've put him as, do you understand? Mm-hmm. And for me as well, I've had people that tag me on social media. They say they're a mentor and this. I've never met this person. I've never even spoken to them. So it's a word that easily gets thrown around. Mm-hmm. Do you understand? So that's why for me it's guys classifying or justifying mentors. What is this mentor, you know, ship or that easily gets thrown around? Maybe Butle, you want to give us your insight?
Yeah, so I think it's a very important thing, and I agree with you that it's a word that gets very easily thrown around. And for me, how I define a mentor is somebody who is, in order to keep a mentor vested, they have to have some kind of interest in your business. So they need to somehow be involved as an investor, if it's possible to get them on an investing level, or they need to be involved actively in some kind of decision-making process that you go through in that particular business. Because if you are just going to meet them once every 6 months to just give them progress, but they're not putting in any input and directing and guiding you, or putting in money that's on the table to say, hey, how's my money doing? Then that person has sort of no obligation to point you in the right direction and to really give of themselves more than just, a pat on the back to say, hey, you're doing well. You know, you've got to have that kind of that kind of commitment tool. We call it a commitment tool in game theory that makes a person actually realize that, hey, I've got something invested in this person.
Yeah. Tandera, you're shaking your head. Give us your
perspective. Yes, I actually fully agree with him. Mm. When I actually think of the mentors that I have, it's people that I also do business with.
Mm.
So even if you come with, you know, an idea or a proposal, somehow you have to have something that's going to be in it for them. Because that's the only way they'll actually be keen and, looking forward to actually meeting you, you know. Because if it's just, because sometimes, unfortunately, you meet youngsters and then they'll say, can you mentor me? And then my next question is, okay, so what are you studying? What is it that, you know, that you're looking at doing?
Mm.
And then you'll find someone that is doing marketing or something not non-property related that would want me to mentor them just because simply they feel that they want to achieve a certain, you know, like level of lifestyle that they perceive, you know, not knowing that, you know, there's, with regards to mentorship, you have to make sure that you go to industry related people that are going to give you information that is going to be beneficial to you and beneficial to what it is that you want to do or venture into.
You see what you've started now. You've started discussion of mentors. But then I think we must have a show around mentor. Let's break down this mentorship, and you must come back for that.
Okay, obviously, I'm more than willing to come back. I think mentorship is quite an important issue, and that a lot of people need for them to go through a specific path and actually succeed.
Okay. Quickly then, tell us, you're having a launch as well?
Oh, so we're having what we call the Township Business Investment Summit. This is happening on the 6th and 7th of June. This is next week, Wednesday and Thursday, at the Soweto Theatre. And essentially, the aim of the summit is not just about having yet another talk shop kind of event, but the idea is to say, how are we investing and directing resources into the township? How do we make sure that we invest in the skills of township entrepreneurs? How do we make sure that we support township entrepreneurs with regards to buying from township entrepreneurs? How do we make sure that we actually invest in infrastructures that actually are there in the township to make sure that entrepreneurs are able to actually operate and do businesses in the township? How do we come up with innovative ways of accessing funding? Because a lot of black entrepreneurs and township entrepreneurs have challenges in accessing funding with regards to your commercial funding institution, where they'll take you literally through a whole lot of hoops for you to be able to get the funding. So we're looking at saying, how do we now work with stock files and like your different kind of investment where entrepreneurs can be able to have access to funding. There are a lot of people that are going to be doing presentations where they're giving different information around how to get access to funding that is actually very innovative. Essentially, I think the 2 days is going to be modeled more around the enterprise development and saying how is South African corporate and government actually investing in township entrepreneurs,
mm-hmm.
and what is actually township entrepreneurs looking for when we talk about support. I think a lot of corporates and a lot of government goes into the township and run projects that they've not yet researched. They just think and assume.
That are not bringing value to the township.
True. That are not bringing value. So they become white elephants, where they do not research this information to understand what do actually entrepreneurs need. And also the element of saying that township entrepreneurs and urban entrepreneurs are different. How do we now get to come up with innovative ways to be able to support them?
I like that.
How do we create infrastructure that actually can be able to work in the township entrepreneurs? But the biggest part is actually a lot of corporates, a lot of government have the perception that township entrepreneurs is only your chusanyama, your spaza shops, your car washes and everything. So we're having the pitching challenge where we had opened applications in the past week where people applied and we did the adjudication tonight or tomorrow morning. We're actually going to announce the top 15 that are actually going to pitch at the township innovation. So we're looking at businesses that are within the in manufacturing, the agribusinesses that can be able to be scalable and can be that investment ready, where different investors that are actually coming through can be able to see the potential in these guys and be able to say, you know what, I want to be able to assist in this and this and this. We have quite a lot of numbers of venture capitals and private investors and different funding institutions that are, like I said, that are very unconventional from the commercial banking, where they're looking at how do we now invest in scalable businesses that are actually coming from the township and how do we connect them to procurement opportunities in the different corporate
structures. There's someone that's listening that wants to come. Where can they get information?
Okay, so we have our website where it has all the information. It's called www.townshipinvestments.co.za, or they can WhatsApp for information, and WhatsApp, the number is
061-420-1873.
Or they can get tickets at Amagig, which is www.amagig.com, or at the Soweto Theatre.
Is it a price to get in?
There is a price. So there are two different ways. So there's a price to be able to attend the summit,
mm-hmm.
which is 150 per day,
mm-hmm.
or 250 for both days. But to visit the exhibition stand, it's actually open for the public. So we're going to be having exhibition stands outside. We're going to be having food stalls. We're actually going to be having entertainment bus from Zinto.
Yeah.
The Gauteng Kondi Ishishini Lako bus will be there for people to be able to register their businesses, be able to get all the different kind of compliances. So we have quite a lot of activities that are going to be happening outside.
Give us the date again.
Of the 6th and the 7th of June 6th and 7th. Next week, Wednesday and Thursday.
Yeah, of June. Ladies and gents, thank you for coming to the show. Quickly, for people that want to get hold of you,
They can catch me on Facebook, Levi Slava, on Twitter, Levi Slava, and next week the website will be on PropertyPick, www.propertypick.co.za. So it'll be on next week, it'll be live, so go check it out.
Okay.
With me, it's Tandeka Nombanjinji. That's my surname is Nombanjinji. That's on Instagram and Facebook. Mm. Our office line is 011-021-1229.
My brother?
And for me, they can catch my email address, buhle@africapureproperty.com. buhle@africapureproperty.com.
No, thank you guys for coming. I'm going to be bringing you guys back to the show. I think we didn't do justice. We need a part two of the show. I don't know. Are you guys available?
Yeah.
No, definitely. We'll arrange property. But if ever you've just joined in, you missed out on an exciting discussion that we had around the real estate of property in South Africa. You can always go to www.cliffcentral.com, go to podcast, and actually download the podcast or download the Cliff Central app to actually listen up. Catch us again next time for another exciting installment of 360 Bears. My name is Tebogo Mafodi with my boy Bulelani Bala. We out.
This is CliffCentral.com.